remarkable passage of scripture here regarding Elisha. There are, I suppose, different ways you could look at the passage. When I looked at it on an earlier occasion, I was thinking that you could look at it and preach a gospel message from it. Because as you look at verse 38, there's great dearth there in the land and great hunger obviously associated with that. And that reminds us of natural man's heart, always hungry and always searching for something. And then when we look at verse 39, there is a field where the herbs are there, those wild grapes that can never satisfy. And that is like the sinner going to the world and seeking to satisfy his soul with that which can never bring contentment to his heart or relief to his need. And of course, it's the wild vine that is mentioned there. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the vine." And he went on to say that without him, we can do nothing. Also there, when you look at verse 40, there's mention made of death in the pot. And again, when we refer to the unconverted person, we read in the Word of God that men are held in bondage all their lifetime because of that fear of death. But when you look at verse 41, it's a tremendous verse where it speaks to us there about the meal. And the meal, and the meal offering being a type of Christ who was victorious over death and hell and the grave. And he won the victory there so long ago. And he is a resurrected Christ. And because of that, there can be victory for those who will come and trust the Lord. And there is a gospel message there. And if you're not converted, we trust that what they said already, the Lord might use it even to bring you to himself and to speak to your heart this morning. But as I looked closely at this passage, I saw in it what I believe to be great words of encouragement for Christians today. I've given the title to the message here, and it is God's Giving Hand. God's Giving Hand. Now, as you look at the passage here, the context here is one of what you could call a Bible school. And the school of the prophets, there are those who have been taught. Elisha's very well known to them. And at this particular point, they are very hungry. We've mentioned that dearth in the land, and it was beginning to bite. And an amazing thing happened. Just as they were beginning to think that there was no light at the end of the tunnel, an anonymous man, we're not given his name, he arrives on the scene. And in a very unexpected way, he gives to them that gift of food that was so needed. And therefore, at the right time, their every need at that time was met. Now, I'm long enough in the ministry, 17 years. It's not a huge amount of time, but it's long enough to know this. To know that in church life, in any area of church life, there will always be need. And please do not be fooled by the look of a big congregation. If somewhere is huge, and I know a lot about this as well, if it is huge and there's lots of people to do all of the things, you can rest assured there are plenty of other issues to cause heartache and heartbreak, because there is always need in the Christian church. And that has always been the way of it. Regarding all of the different aspects of the church, we appeal to you today, and we would not in any way want to force you into anything, but you're very welcome if you want the help of the boys and girls at the end of July. It's in the evening time there at 6:30, the meetings each evening. But not only is there the need generally in the church, I'm also, as you've heard today about my birthday, I'm not 21. I wish I was. Well, I don't really, because I can't complain. And I'm long enough on the go to know this, that individual Christians have emotional needs. They have needs mentally. They have needs materially. And we have needs spiritually. And the Lord is able to meet all of those needs. And I want you to take encouragement in that right away this morning. I quote again the verse that the Lord is able to supply all your need. My God is able to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's able to supply all your need. And as I look at God's giving hand this morning, I trust in what I say. I'll have something here for you to hold on to over the summertime. And there is no Bible club or no Bible class or Sabbath school and no Tuesday night meeting. And things have winded down a lot, and a lot of people on holidays and they're off here and there. And it's just a slacker time in church life. But you'll still hold on to this. I trust what we say to you this morning, that it will encourage you every day. I want you to notice then, first of all, and we need to, as Christians, really understand this. We just don't read through it and let it go, but understand that God will not deny his word. He will not deny his word. Now, if you look there in verses 43 and 44, and there came a man from Baal-shal-Aisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people. And he said, give unto the people. And if you look down the other verse there, it says, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat. The Lord had said, you see, that they would eat. And folks, over and over again in the Bible, God has promised to provide for his church. He cannot do otherwise. Christ is the covenant head of his church. And I read from Philippians this morning already how every need can be met in him. All of them. You remember the Psalm 123, the very first line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Doesn't mean you'll have everything that you want. Some people were down at Kilbrony yesterday and they saw cars that they wanted. Might never have them. But you know, I shall not want according to all those things that the Lord will provide for us. And as you read, folks, and I know you do that, read through your Bible, you will see time and time again where God's people were in need. And as I said, there's none of us, and I've known many, many cases where a lovely smile masks so much. It masks so much. And I just want to say to you, if you ever want to talk to me about anything, please feel free to do that. And if I'm on holiday and you need to talk to me, you've got my mobile number. Phone it. Text me. Because very often a smile hides an awful lot. But there are a lot of needs. And the people in the Bible, they were no different. They had lots of needs as well. And over there in the Psalm number 34, it says there, it's a great psalm of thanksgiving and the great privileges here of the righteous and so on. And it says here in verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The word thing there, you will see that it's in italics. It's not in the original. It's put in there just to give the sense of the sentence. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good. You see, he only intends good toward his people. And the psalmist here was reflecting upon that. Look at the praise and the blessing that he received. If you read the early chapter, the early verses even of that chapter, even verse 6, about the poor man crying and the Lord hearing him and saving him out of all his troubles. Again, I mentioned the woman we mentioned 2 weeks ago, I think now, in the prayer meeting, the Canaanite woman. She cried unto the Lord and he answered her not a word. People would be horrified to read that. Like, how could he do that? There she is in desperate need. She cried unto the Lord, and he answered her not a word, but he heard all her words. He heard all of them, and he hears yours. And folks, when you're away from all of us, in that quiet time, maybe even a feeling of despair, he hears. The psalmist he knew all about. He knew all about the despair. He knew about the dark valleys. He knew about the times of testing and trial, the times of loneliness. He knew about all of that. And yet he was able to write here in the psalm so much concerning the Lord. In verse 8, we mentioned it the other week, to taste and see that the Lord is good, to make trial of him, put him to the test, prove the Lord. See, one way that the Lord would have us, his people, to grow in grace, it's very important that we pray. It's very important that we fellowship, and it's very important that we read God's word. But it's such a blessing when you prove him. Such a blessing when you prove him. There's never going to be a situation where a Christian's placed in any part of their life, in any place, or there is an individual church assembly where there is never need. Because if that was the case and everything was rosy and you could look down the road and you could say, oh, I've no worries materially ever, and I've no worries about this, no worries about that, that's idealistic thinking, but it doesn't happen. And if it happened to a Christian, when would we ever prove the Lord? When would we ever prove him? David here proved him time and time and time again. Just over a couple of pages there in the Psalm 37 says there, oh, this is not one, please don't apply this verse to me today. It says verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And you'll see what he says before that. Look what he says in verse 23. The steps of a good man, Christian man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. That word upholdeth is the word samak in Hebrew, and it means leaning your whole weight upon something. And that is what he's saying here. This man, though he fails and he falls, the Lord upholds him because he leans upon the Lord. He doesn't content himself with just falling and failing. He wants to be closer to the Lord, and the Lord's proved faithful. And here's the psalmist. He's looking back a few years and he's saying, I remember when I was very young. And you can remember those days when the psalmist was even involved there with Goliath and so on. He was just a boy. And over the years, through the rough and tumble and the valleys and the hilltops, he can look back now and say, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Christian, the devil wants you, and I could labor this point all morning, the devil wants you to feel forsaken. I said one year in our in the message that I brought in the first motto text to you, that the devil's plan for you this year, number one, break your spirit. Break your spirit, you'll not do much else. Well, you might. But a broken spirit is a dryness of the bones. You will not be doing it with joy in your heart, and you know that, and so do I. If the devil can break your spirit, no answer hasn't come for prayers. You start to doubt, trying to break your spirit. You see, the Lord here promised, and I referred to this several times, Philippians 4:19, is able to supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we will never deny his word. One final reference, and then we'll move on here. It's Romans chapter 8 and verse. The apostle here says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, again, that is another lie of the devil. He will come along to you if you're feeling, if you're one who's in despondency, or you're feeling down. You can't kid yourself or the Lord. So if we look at our heart and say, well, I am down, or I am discouraged, he will come along and say, sooner or later, if you keep going on like this, the Lord's not going to love you anymore. Well, that's a lie. It says there, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then it goes on to say there in verse 37, nay, or the word actually means yet or but. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I've said before that word says more than conquerors means, carries the meaning of being a hyper conqueror. A hyper conqueror. Someone who's going from victory to victory. And when is it? It is right in the middle of all these things. In all these things. Not when they're over, because I said, there's never really a situation in life. Yes, we sometimes have lovely little periods we go through. There doesn't seem to be many problems. But as we get a little bit older, those times are fewer. And in church life, there's always a need somewhere. There's always a need in every area, indeed, of God's work. But God will never deny his word. And he says there, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How is it? Through him that loved us. So that's the first thing I want you to hold on to as we look here at God's giving hand. God's giving hand. He met the need here of these people. For it was thus saith the Lord. But you know something else? This need was met in answer to prayer. There's no doubt that they were in prayer with him, because if they had not been praying about the matter, they would not have been in communion with the Lord and would not have been in a position to say, thus saith the Lord, verse 43. God promises to supply the needs of his people, but you and I must continually lay hold upon him. Do you ever ask the question, you know, maybe you've asked the question, why did God not make me rich? And maybe you haven't. Or why did God not make the church in Galilee rich? Or why did the Lord not do all those things that I've been asked him to do now for 5 or 10 years? Why has he not done all those things for me? It is in order that we may continually feel our need of him. Again, if everything seemed to be rosy, you do not feel, and that is a really great danger, you do not feel your need of him as a congregation or as an individual person. Remember the church at Laodicea said they had need of nothing. They had much goods. They were rich. They had need of nothing. They got into this mindset that, well, they come to worship the Lord, but they weren't casting themselves upon him the way people do when they're in need. Or there is a congregation or an individual person with those emotional needs or those material needs or those spiritual needs. But in answer to prayer, the Lord is able. I'm going to just read a few verses there now to back that up in 2 Chronicles 32. And it is verse 8. It says here, speaking of those, that is Sennacherib, who was an enemy of those who were the lords and those who were with Hezekiah at that time. Sennacherib was a formidable foe. He had wrought great havoc and heartache. But it says there in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 32, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Look what it says then. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. There's not only, you see that there is, he's there as a companion, he is with us, he's there to give confidence because he's going to help us, but he's there to give contentment. They rested upon the words, and how much more content I could be. And maybe other Christians could be as well, if we could just rest upon the word. You see, God, in life, God doesn't always give us circumstances that are just everything we want them to be. He gives us opportunities. But when those circumstances are not everything we want them to be, we always, always have his word to rest upon. Always. And here was the word of the Lord to them, that the God was with them to help them in their battles. It was a very dire situation, but they rested on the word. Something I need to ask myself sometimes. Why do we not rest more in the word? Study the life of Elijah. The life of Elisha too. How many times, mighty men that they were, how many times they had to come and cast themselves along upon the Lord and say, Lord, wit's end corner's just round the corner, and I'm casting myself upon you. And the Lord answered. The Lord answered for them every single time. In answer to prayer, he brought along the food here to these men who were along with Elisha. So when you think here of God's giving hand, you think that he will never deny his word. He's always, his word is always reliable. He answers whenever God's people pray. But, you know, very often that answer is delayed. And again, I'm going to risk overlapping a little bit with what I said a couple of weeks at the prayer meeting. But whenever prayer doesn't come when we want it to, or come next week or the week after that, the answer doesn't come, distress can come. Distress can come to our minds. And we start perhaps becoming, in any area of life, become a little bit skeptical. And sometimes we feel we're nearly at the end of our tether whenever there is then his special provision. One of the greatest examples, and I couldn't look beyond this man to mention again, was George Mueller. George Mueller, who built the orphanages in Bristol and looked after the children there and saw their every need met for a long time there. But we'd be wrong today that George Mueller could look over into the corner and say, well, you know, there's enough food to keep us going next week and there's enough money over there to do us the week after. That never happened. That never happened. Very often, he was right to the wire. Right to the wire. And he was on the verge of wit's end corner as well. And the Lord allowed that to happen so that more and more George Mueller would prove his faithfulness and his graciousness and what the Lord was able to do. And so it has been with the Christian church. Again, this year we're thinking a lot about Martin Luther and those who worked at the same time in the Christian church. And if you knew all the experiences of them, and I don't know them all either, but I know some. And so often things were right to the wire, even for individuals in very sticky situations, very, very difficult situations. But the Lord allowed it to go right to the wire, and then he answered prayer to glorify him more, and to that men might look to him and say, well, this is of the Lord. You think of the Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. We were like them in the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Now before that turn came, they weren't laughing. And their tongue wasn't filled with laughter and their tongue was singing. They were almost at wit's end corner. But then the Lord moved in. Then the Lord moved in. And that was what happened here. They were brought to that point where they were in really nearly wit's end corner. And folks, it is all that God's name might be glorified. And you know something, I'm moving on here again because I have to. God met their need in a sovereign way. We've read over there that there came a man from Baal Shalisha. I don't know who he was, but I know that he came along here at the right time. His name is not mentioned. We don't know any details about him. But it reminds us of this. God is so able to meet the needs of his church, number one, and also of you as an individual, to meet your need in an unexpected way. Sometimes you can think of channels. You think, well, there's a way I could be helped, or there's someone could help me there, and it doesn't really happen. But then the Lord, in a most remarkable way, steps into the situation and meets your need in a way that you would never have dreamt of. Now, Elijah was not stupid. And as he was going to the brook Kereth, I'm sure that he thought, well, you know, who's coming with me? Where's this place? Who's these people that you're sending with me? The Lord fed him with ravens. The ravens brought his food to him. He wouldn't have thought of that one. But then after that, he thought, well, this has been fed by the ravens. Now we'll get it. You know, we'll have a bunch of God's people. The widow woman next. One of the poorest, most vulnerable people in society in those days. But she was to feed him. And that is that the Lord moved. And so often, even down in times of revival, even when the Lord was moving, and people who should have thrown their weight behind what God was doing started getting cantankerous and opposing the work and thinking, well, you know, I don't know if it's of the Lord or not. And all of these things. And then the Lord raised up someone who the thought might not have been interested. I think I've told you before as a congregation, there's one of our churches, and if I'm not wrong, they received the building site for their church from a Roman Catholic. That's where they got the site. Now, they wouldn't have seen that one coming either. But you see, the Lord was able here to send this person along, and the resources, what they need, they got, but it reminds us that God's resources never run dry, and he's never limited. No matter how much he gives. Remember that. He's given you before. He's able to give you far more. If you continually look to him and lean upon him. And to do it in a most sovereign way. How often I've seen that. Even since I went into Bible college. And from that day on. The Lord able to meet your need in a sovereign way. Sometimes you thought of ways. Oh, it could be met that way. It wasn't. Sometimes it was. But many times it wasn't. And met in some other way. And just like the ravens there and the widow and so on. You see, the devil will take need and he will use it to cause despair. Whether that's in a congregation or in your individual experience. And I suppose generally here this morning we're referring to individual people, to you. Something to hold on to prove him. But because we've not got the answer now regarding maybe something to do with your work or some other area of your life, please don't despair. You can prove God. You can prove him. And he can answer in his sovereign way. I'm sure Elisha here wasn't exactly sure what to say to these fellas when things were, food was getting scarce. And they were looking to him. And when it says there that there came a man of Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. You see, again, the picture here is, if we mentioned already Christ in the earlier verse, verse 41, and the meal being cast into the pot. There was death in the pot, but the meal going into the pot made all of the difference. Christ conquered death. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Rendered powerless, that's what it means in the Bible, that he has conquered death. Rendered powerless, and here he was meeting the need. The picture is of him meeting the need of the people here. But God provides for his people usually through other people. Usually through other people. And while that is important for us to realize that God can use other people to meet our need, how often someone just had a word for me in season. I can remember people phoning me up and didn't expect it in England. And they didn't talk to me very long, but what they said was just what I needed to hear. And when I needed to hear it. I didn't need it the fortnight before that. Thought I did, but I didn't. But I needed it when they phoned. And that was just exactly what we needed. God often uses a human channel. And we do look, that is why it's so important, folks, to fellowship together. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. It doesn't say that just to fill in a sentence. But we are to bear one another's burdens. That's why here you do pray for each other. If somebody's not well or there's any need that you're aware of, you do pray regarding all of that. God usually provides for his people whatever the need is through other people. But that's another. There's another message to us there. What a blessing we can be. Someone today, and they've been dealt, as you would say, a tough hand. It's been, wherever they are in life, maybe some young person and their circumstances are far from good, and you can have a word for them. Or maybe some person you know and they swear and they use bad language and you think, so sick and tired listening to him. Maybe very, very great need in his heart. Just need someone to come along and say, listen, you know, would you come to a meeting with me, or, you know, I can introduce you to one who can help you with all these burdens that you're talking about, and speak to them about the Lord. We too can be that channel. And as we look forward to the Bible Club, we're hoping to be channels to the boys and girls and to their families as well. I want to say here also that as you look at this passage, the Lord did use that very unusual person that came and met their every need there. But you see, it was the need was not only met, it was met adequately. Do you see where it says there, they shall eat and shall leave thereof? It's like the lads, two loaves and five fishes. They're giving the Lord the loaves and the fishes there, and the 12 baskets full being gathered up. That was more than a gift to start with. Yet the 12 baskets full. And here's a similar situation here. It says, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. The Lord met their need abundantly. And so often we limit him. Once when I was in the college, I went with two other students to take a youth fellowship. And I remember in their time of prayer in that youth fellowship, one of the young women that was there, she was praying and she said about the shame she felt in limiting the Lord. And I've never forgotten that. She limited the Lord. And it's so easy to limit the Lord. See, if we can come to God with very, very ordinary, easy things, he's able to do that. And we do bring them to him and are right to do that. But you might be able to come to me with very easy, ordinary things. But what about the difficult things? God can do far exceeding abundantly above anything you can ask or you can even think about. Think of something today that's very difficult. God can do that for you. I'm not speaking here about something that's daft or outlandish, but something that's real and you need, and it's something that you want and you see it as legitimate. You need to call upon the Lord. For he's able to give us that which is adequate. And as a congregation as well, I've no doubt when the Bible Club comes around here, there'll be enough help. There'll be enough help to do the work with the boys and girls. But I just want to say this by way of closing, that in all of this situation here, motives were important. Motives were important. It was referred to, he was referred to here as the man of God. That was Elisha. But he took what he had. And he gave it unto the people. He gave it unto the people. And all that the Lord has done for us, we are to share with others. It's lovely to have fellowship meetings, and we're looking forward to tonight, and because we seem to have been having good meetings at night and as well as the morning. But we're looking forward next Sunday night to hearing the testimony and the singing and all, a real good night of fellowship together. And then we look forward to the night at the end of the Bible Club when we invite the parents and all. And we love those times of fellowship together. There's nothing like them. But you know, it's so important that we share what we have with those who don't have. It says there, give unto the people that they may eat. You've got the bread of life. You've got Christ. And you can share him, and I can share him with the people. And that was, of course, the motive of Elisha overall was to glorify the Lord. And that is the motive, I trust, of every Christian here, that what we do, we want to see glory brought to him. So think today of God's giving hand. God's giving hand in your life. How it is reliable. How he gives in answer to prayer. How he gives at the appropriate time, just when you're beginning to feel at wit's end corner. How he gives in a sovereign way. How he often uses other people. How he gives you that which is adequate. And then we need to watch those motives. And having said all that, we're back again to where we were at the very start. That is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, where the apostle there was writing to this young church at Philippi. There were lots of needs in the church, but there were lots of needs with individuals. There's no question about that. And he says to them here, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Where it says there, shall supply, means to fill out to completion. He's not a skimpy giver, but to fill out to completion. I'm going to read quickly a few of the verses in chapter 1, verse 9. This is what it says, chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in judgment. That is a word there that is one of the verbs, the abounding there, as a verse concerning the Lord supplying, because he's praying that your love may abound, the word abound there meaning to overflow. Good to pray for each other, that we'll be filled with the love of Christ. And then, and you can look at chapter 2 yourself, and I think it's verse 10, chapter 2 and verse 10. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not everybody's doing it today. Not everybody's doing it today. And men and women who are praying are looking for souls, but the Lord is able to meet the need. He's able to move in hearts and answer to your prayers. But at that verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Good to hold on to it. Good to hold on to it. He's done things for us before as an individual. You look way back to when you were first saved and you were stumbling and trying to struggle on the best you could, and then you blundered. And then you got up again and started going on again the best you could and made other mistakes. It'll never be much different in life. But it's encouraging today to know that the Lord hasn't changed. That his love hasn't changed. And as a congregation, as we come out now toward the summertime, and people are going to be all over the place on holidays and so on, remember this. God's giving hand. Remember his giving hand. Read that passage yourself, please, in your own time, if you wish. That chapter 4 verses of 2 Kings, verses 38 to 44. And you'll see God's giving hand. Met in a most unusual way the great need that there was at that time. And we're today praying that God will come and send revival, but we're not foolish. We don't say, Lord, it must be me. We're praying that God will send revival, that he will send real revival. He's sovereign. Nobody in Northern Ireland would have chosen four young men up in Kells to start praying and be always looked upon as the beginning of the 1859 revival. Nobody in this country would have chosen it. And who knows what God can do with people, men and women who think they're nothing, but are at God's disposal and willing to give themselves to him. Trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to your heart and encourage you much even in the coming days as we remember his giving hand.